Happy Monday evening. This is Across the Pitch. We are back for our 2023 season. I'm Mike Barrera, as always, one of your co-hosts. For our third year in business, we have now a third co-host. We have our buddy Jose Nunez right there to my side. Jose, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I think, again, barging my way into the show and to becoming the third chair has been one of the most rewarding things I've done in a while. So this is exciting. Third year of the show, third seat, and an exciting season ahead after probably actually our most successful season yet. So let's see how it goes.
Exactly. Couldn't have said better myself. And then, of course, the one and only Dave Miller, our friend from England. Dave, third year together now. It feels like yesterday we started talking on AAT Sports, and now here we are 3 years later. How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, sitting here, you know, chilling, watching some of the playoffs. I mean, hopefully, it'll be better in a month's time when the Union are really in the midst of their preseason and getting ready to go. But, I mean, it's great to be back. I mean, it's a weird one because not much has really happened since, I mean, we last, for the Union anyway, not much has really happened. I mean, so yeah, hopefully a lot's going to happen in the next month in terms of transfer business, I think.
Yes.
Well, in terms of incomings anyway, outcomings, hopefully we have a really quiet one and the Union go into the new season with everyone.
Agreed. It's been a quiet one. I know Valerie's checking in. Val, thanks for stopping by as always. Thank you. It's been a quiet off season. I know we were talking recently. You know, I had been kind of off the grid for a bit. There really hasn't been too much commotion outside of a couple things here or there. So it's been kind of a nice restart to everything. You know, just take a break from the season that only ended what feels like yesterday. It's already been now what, 2.5 months, give or take.
Yeah.
So I know you guys had recorded since the MLS Cup final. I actually haven't been on air since Eastern Conference final. So it's kind of nice to get back in front of the camera and just get into the swing of things. But before we do get into the swing of things and get more involved with what we want to talk about, let's go through our sponsors and then we get right into the nitty gritty of the conversation. So, of course, our oldest sponsor we have is Statement Games. Check out statementgames.com for a fun new way to fantasy sports and entertainment. You can win gift cards and prizes free to sign up at statementgames.com. Next up, we have Doan Distillery at the Trolley Barn Public Market in Quakertown. Go to Doan Distillery to check out their wide variety of drinks and spirits right there on the screen there for you. And the next one we have as well in PA is Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant Allentown. Discover a new favorite by trying their top pizzas and so much more. Check out their new website at vinniespizzarestaurant.com. And then last but not least, we have Stuff to the Grills at 6750 Iroquois Trail number 5. Coincidentally, right next to the other place, Vinny's Pizza. And you can also go to stufftothegrills.com for their homemade hot and cold sandwiches, salads, appetizers, baked goods, available for any event you want. You pick it, they have it. And then last but not least, we have the Across the Pitch gear and the AATSportsNetwork.com/shop if you want to check out some cool gear. I know Johnny always puts out some new merch. One of our oldest shirts we have here is the Dupe There It Is shirt. You can see right there. I believe it's still on the site. If not, I'm going to yell at Johnny, make sure he puts it back up for him to put for sale. But otherwise, that is our sponsors. And, you know, we're going to shoot right to Jose. I'm going to shoot to you first. Jose, what have you been thinking about these last couple months in terms of the Union? What do you want to chat about tonight?
You know, ever since Dave and I recorded, and Mike, we missed you dearly during those last few episodes or last episode before we signed off for the off season, just reflecting a little bit on the season that it was and how amazing it was to be undefeated at Subaru Park all season, if I recall correctly, right? To be able to say that we held down a fortress that hardly anybody walked away with 1 point, let alone 3, was incredible. So to me, as I think about our roster basically unscathed considering all the movement around the league, I think it's really important to remember just how meaningful our participation as fans, especially those who are in the U.S. and able to travel to the stadium, is to be there as much as we can. And this is not a corporate shill saying, you know, buy as many tickets as possible. But I think it'll be really interesting to see what the success of the Union over the last couple of years will do for this team as ticket sales continue to show the popularity of it all. So it'll be intriguing. I'm just eager to hear and hear from both of you what you think about our, I guess, prowess at home, right? And it's certainly something we want to continue to have as a Union fan base and a Union team, but just eager to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, Dave, I want to actually ask you a question off what Jose said. Jose mentioned the popularity of the team, right? I mean, you of all people would see the popularity of the Union from a distance, right? From the global standpoint. Again, you and I have been on this coverage now for about 2.5 seasons, 3 years. How would you say the growth of the team has gone both on Twitter, in the PA area, as well as across the season? You see more Union jerseys popping up? Like, what's your kind of outsider perspective on this?
I mean, of course, it's a when I did go to Philadelphia, I mean, it's unfortunate because the Union weren't playing, so I didn't really see much, you know, sort of Union shirts. But again, it was Eagles Dallas week, so I think it was always going to be Eagles Eagle centric. But I mean, like, again, I think you just see, like, even on, like, the Union Facebook page that we're in, you sort of see the amount of people that are coming, are joining from, you know, Wrexham and or from Wales who support Wrexham, or, you know, people who support Leeds, because, you know, obviously Wrexham have that Philadelphia link with Robert Callaghan. Leeds have brought Paxton Aronson in, and Brendan Aronson in, sorry, and, you know, they want to go and follow sort of, you know, they want to have a look at the, you know, sort of the heritage of Philadelphia. They want to look back at sort of what made Brendan Aronson the player he is today, because they absolutely adore Brendan Aronson at Leeds. And I mean, again, you can see the reaction on Twitter as well, of the like high traffic of the Union MLS Cup final game on social media, which is so, like, a weird one to see. And if you know what I mean, like, sure that, like, a lot of, that's 90% of the people we follow probably aren't Union fans or really dive into, you know, sort of the Union the Union Twitter sphere. So to see so many people tweeting about the game, and, you know, was just quite a cool thing to see. Of course, it didn't end the way that we wanted, but I feel like the Union are continuing to, you know, make the right steps up the ladder. Agreed. In terms of growing in popularity.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, it feels like we've been following this team forever. Jose, you and I in particular, we've been in this since almost day one, right? And it feels like we've been around for so long, but we really haven't. In the grand scheme of things, this team is still relatively young. We've only been here through about half of the MLS history, if not a little less. But within the last 6 years, that Union have finally began to climb that ladder that Dave's talking about to get that recognition. So you're right. It's weird seeing it everywhere now. It's weird seeing Union jerseys on kids when I drop off my daughter at school. It's weird seeing, you know, people tuning into the MLS Cup final and really watching it and engaging with it and having these celebrities now coming out more and more. But to Jose's point, I don't know if you were at the Houston game, Jose, against the Union. I know Chip Keggy was there for AAT Sports back, you know, July, whenever it was. But that was one of the most highly attended matches in club history. A game between the Houston Dynamo and the Philadelphia Union, coincidentally, was a phenomenal, you know, beatdown against Houston. But if I had told you that one of the highest rated attendance records would be against the Dynamo 6 years ago, Jose, you'd probably laugh and say it must have been an Open Cup final or something, because why else would it be sold out? I mean, so do you feel like it's now becoming the weekly place to go in Philly?
You know, I recall that game, and you know where I was that day?
Nowhere.
I was at the hospital because it was 2 days after my second son was born. So I remember watching it during those long sleepless nights, the first couple of days of his life. But, you know, it's just so fascinating, right? I think 10 years or 11 years at this point of this team being around, I consider myself proud, but also very you know, cognizant. I've had a streak of 7 or 8 years of going to every single home opener, this one included. Have a group of there's going to be 30 of us going this year, which is awesome. But yeah, it's just fascinating to see the popularity behind this. And let me tell you, you know, like, Chester is not the prettiest place, but my God, to be able to spend an evening for the price and watch a good team in a stadium where even a $30 seat or $25 seat, you get an amazing view, is, you can't beat it. And frankly, once you get into the atmosphere and into the stadium, it is so easy to fall in love with it. And, you know, I think about I think about the popularity rise with, and I correlated, I should say, with the playoff games last year, right? Where sort of last minute, my wife's cousin and his girlfriend wanted to come along. Standing room only was like, I think $101 per person, which is, again, awesome. Like crazy, right?
Yeah,
like I would have never imagined that the Union are selling A, standing room only tickets, and B, that they were $100 a pop. Face value. So like it's amazing that it's becoming this. And I think it's all due to the fans and those of us who remember the days of, you know, Freddie Adu and Vincent Nogueira, who was a great player on his own, but wanted to go back to France at some point because he was just so upset with the team, Brian Carroll's of the world, etc. Just we've been through so much, and it's just so great to finally have a team that's there to be successful on a consistent basis.
Well, that's a great point, Jose. So I feel like for years we've been kind of selling, trying to build. I think the Union's motto for so long was the future, right? Build the academy, trust the process. We'll get there. We're finally here. So now we've reflected quickly on 2022 and what we are currently now, a popular team that demands the attention of the city. So the next step is to continue to win, right? Because if you go to the MLS Cup in 1 year and then you just flop around the next year, you lose that momentum. So one of the biggest things we had this year was the fact that the Union are focusing on the present and focusing on the now as you sign or you extend, rather, Daniel Gazdag into 2025. Something that all of us were worried about. I know we had talked about this offline, you know, does Daniel stick around? Are they going to bring somebody to replace him? When Paxton gets sold, is that the sign that they are looking at Daniel rather than Paxton to be that number 10 moving forward? I for me, as a fan, just take the you know, the business side of out of things. As a fan, I want to see this core continue. And I want to see Ua and Daniel and Carranza continue to grow as a unit. Now he's here till for another, 2.5 years? I mean, how important is that, Dave, to the team's future success? Success, I should say.
I think for both, it's crucial. I mean, your best possibly, I mean, going off this easily the greatest single season in Philadelphia Union history. I mean, yep. I don't think there's any doubting that. I mean, 22 goals, 10 assists across the entirety of the season is ludicrous for a player in Daniel was playing. Again, as Jim sort of alluded to in his press conferences last week, sort of a disgrace that he wasn't in the conversation for the MVP.
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, we might see a Daniel Gazdag with bleached blonde hair or nice bleached mohawk this season, you know, to really get the attention of the people. I mean, that seems the only thing that stopped him from really, you know, getting the plaudits he did deserve. Because, I mean, there was plenty of people who were writing articles saying, oh, yeah, Gazdag's done this, but he doesn't deserve the MVP and stuff like that. And I was like, well, again, he's going to be such a crucial part of this team. And going into the season, as Jim has also mentioned, you know, this team, they're fighting for six trophies. They're fighting for six trophies. I think you put it in, I mean, the MLS Cup, the Support Shield, Leagues Cup, Open Cup, CCL. And Jim sort of made the point that, yes, I mean, the Eastern Conference isn't really a big sort of trophy, but it's something that they're going into as defending champs.
Yeah.
They want to retain that trophy. That is something that is theirs and they don't want to let go. And again, if having a player like Daniel Gazdag, who now has 2 years of experience in the MLS, has scored goals, he's adapted his game to the level, he's now acclimatized to it. He is the perfect player that you can rely upon to score goals, get assists, and build the team around. I mean, again, you've got really good players in there already, but he's the player that you can build your attack around. And having two really good players in front of him, Ua and Carranza, is really going to help, you know. But that three, I mean, we saw last year as the season went on how good they became.
Right.
So, I mean, again, if you can keep those three players alone together for the next 2-3 seasons, there's unlimited potential. And then having players like Quinn Sullivan, etc., coming off the bench, I mean, it's even coming in and making it a front four, maybe, if Jim expands to play with like a two attacking midfield sort of option. There's ways that this group can expand. But again, having that core three is going to be so crucial for the future.
Jose, I'll kind of shoot it to you to kind of piggyback off Dave there.
It's what else can we wish for, right? I know what else we can wish for. We can wish that the next 3 weeks, a certain player that's first name starts with a K and last name starts with a W sticks around with us all year, right? Who I think we're all expecting Kai Wagner to just be picked off somewhere in Europe. But in regards to Daniel, we can only hope that he gets remotely close to what he did last year. And if he comes pretty darn close to it, I would say it's well spent, every single dollar of it. So, you know, to your point of gelling, you know, Mikel Ua for most, if not all of the season, was only giving us 60 minutes, right? 60, yep. 65 minutes. I reckon that if you give him an additional 30 with some more players that he's acclimated to, much like the or the transformation that we saw in Daniel from year one to year two, a Mikel Ua from year one to year two, I can only hope that things will just click. And that's what's so interesting and intriguing to me. And it's unfortunate, at least I think unfortunate. I hope I'm surprised that we're not going to be able to see as much preseason as I wish we could actually right. watch games to see these players click. And I know that the rosters and the formations, et cetera, it's all toying around leading into the games and the season, the tournaments, et cetera. But man, to be able to be a fly on those walls or by those fields during the preseason with this team is something I wish I could do. But In regards to Daniel, well deserved. Enjoy your money, enjoy your bag, and I hope that after 2.5 years, we get even more money out of you, or you stick around longer. It's a win-win situation, frankly.
Listen, you guys bring up excellent points. A couple things you mentioned in particular, Jose, regarding his playing time with Ua. But when you think about, as Dave said, the recognition that Gazla got, yes, was he recognized across the league as a top player? Sure. Was he snubbed for the MVP race? Absolutely. But then you also think of players like Jacob Glesnes, who the year prior may have had the same argument. You know, maybe he didn't get the recognition he deserved. I feel like Mukhtar has been around a bit longer. The name's obviously there. It makes sense that he won it this year. Maybe Daniel's now, that's his turn next year to get that little bit more recognition, more of that longevity with you know, scoring at a high level, that kind of stuff. So maybe this is Daniel's year to kind of hit that next, you know, bit of accolades under his belt. But I'm excited for Ua as well, because one thing that we had discussed at length, Jose, was the fact that Corey Burke took up a lot of Michael's time on the field, and now Corey's gone. So does this mean that maybe Curtin pushes Ua 80 minutes with Carranza? Does maybe the change in substitutions now finally happen for Curtin? Because last year was like clockwork. The 60th minute rolled around, Corey Burke came in, rightfully so, because Corey played actually pretty well towards the end of the year. And then him and Carranza finished up the job. Does Ua's now, hopefully his health, as well as his adjusting to the MLS, change the way Curtin approaches his substitutions? Maybe they both play together longer. Or maybe just Quinn Sullivan takes the place of Corey Burke. Because at the same time, if you remember, towards the end of the year, Carranza went on a long scoring drought. For about like a month and a half, he didn't score. But Corey kind of came in at that exact time where he was playing at a good level. So you didn't really feel Carranza's lack of scoring very much. So is Quinn able to be that guy who can continue the scoring pace and you know, the contributions the way Corey did? Or does Jim focus on substitutions more in the midfield? Does he get Bedoya off the field more often? Does, you know, how does Leon Flock come into play here with the substitution? So I'm interested to see if Corey Burke's departure finally gives time to Ua that we both have been wanting, because I agree with you all year, Jose. I don't think he should have been taken out in the 60th minute when you're paying him the kind of money you are to contribute the way he is.
Unless it's health related, right? If it's an injury, if it's what's the term in basketball?
Load management
on a soccer player, maybe. I'm not sure, but sure. I think the point stands, right? I think we expected more time out of him, but maybe it was very much a situation of wanting to get him situated, different weather, etc. The heat and the mugginess of Pennsylvania in the summer and in the spring, etc. Whatever it was, also an abbreviated season in a way, right? Because of the leading into the World Cup, it could not have been stretched out any further. And to be fair, to your point in regards to Corey and Carranza, I think that entire thing or Carranza's drought just shows, and that's what I'm intrigued about, how well built that roster was last year, because that's what you want, right? One player stops scoring, you have someone else who steps in so they can kind of like a ladder continue to step up for one another. So kudos to Ernst and everybody else involved. But can we just talk about what a punch in the nuts it was to see Corey Burke sign with New York Red Bulls? Like anybody else, could not have been anybody else. I almost feel actually that it was sort of on purpose in a way, not on Corey's part, but certainly by New York to be like, you know, let's just stick it to him, right? Let's buy their player or give him the most money or the most preferable contract, etc. Just what a punch in the balls.
Yeah. I think again, so I said it's annoying. I mean, I just said it's a punch in the balls to see, you know, a player who has been union for such a long time go to such a big rival. I mean, again, Corey really offered the team something different. I mean, he allowed, if the way that Jim wanted to play wasn't going right, you could bring Corey into the game and, you know, you could be a bit more direct. You could be more physical. You know, he was that, I think I said to Mike plenty of times, he was sort of that chaotic sort of, he was that chaotic sort of like, he was just a player of chaos, which came on, just caused absolute havoc for the opposing defences. I mean, again, he was the guy that kick-started the comeback in the Eastern Conference final. His substitution alone, I mean.
And I think he's also the guy who broke a leg.
I think, as you sort of, as you alluded to as well, with who are playing 60 minutes a game, I think, that's something that, you know, I think it's quite a weird occurrence. I think I always say to Mike, it is a Jim Curtin substitution. Around the hour, he always sub off a striker.
Yeah.
And he did it with Sergio Santos a lot. And now he's doing it with Uwe. I don't know if it was whether, like, he doesn't really, I don't know whether he's not a fan of having a pacey striker on the pitch for 90 minutes. He's worried that striker will burn out, or I don't know. But I mean, like, again, at this moment in time, who are you going to sub Uwara off for? Who are you going to sub a striker off for? Because I don't know if Chris Donovan's still signed to the team. You can start playing Quinn Sullivan up front. You can change the system when you make a change. I mean, again, that's the big question going forward, is who is going to be that third striker?
Chris Donovan does appear on the Union website under the roster. How dated that is, I'm not sure, but just putting it out there.
I mean, yeah, and also, remind me of the guy's name, because I can't think of it right now. The guy they brought in from South America, who was on the U2 forever, was...
He's still there now, isn't he?
Riosco, right?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about,
I mean, is...
Bueno?
Bueno. Riosco was brought in pretty highly regarded. Everybody was pretty excited to see him. I know he didn't get a lot of U2 time. I know he wasn't really impactful in a lot of games, but, I mean... Do they see enough from him that they can transition to the first team? Is it gonna? It's. I mean, we looked at it last preseason. Quinn Sullivan had a good preseason. Quinn Sullivan had a great U.S. youth national team performance. Right, he would have won the highest scoring for that team if Paxton didn't decide to just play out of his mind that year. But then Quinn kind of disappeared all MLS season. We didn't see him at all.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, quick two things about Quinn thing. And one, he was probably the main victim that fell under the Daniel Gazdag dominance and incredible, like, and sensational sort of way he played last year. I think Quinn, I mean, I think because of Paxton's versatility, he could play as a second, he could play as a striker, he could play as the box-to-box player. Quinn's very much an attacking-minded player, it seems. But, I mean, again, listening to Jim, the way that Jim spoke about Quinn in the... in the presser, he sort of said again, like, we're going to need players to take off the goal scorer, well, take some of the load of the absence of Corey, take that goal scoring load on. And he sort of said that he believes that Quinn Sullivan can be that guy. Feels like Quinn Sullivan can step up and contribute more goals and, you know, play as a second striker or as a 10. So, I mean, again, I think it looks like they might be relying upon Quinn Sullivan as that third striking option or third attacking option, maybe off the bench. But, I mean, you're looking at the team. I mean, Gazdag is the only 10 on, apart from Quinn, Gazdag's probably the only 10 on the team. So, again, he's got a couple of big shoes to fill. But I think there's obviously another couple of, like, Union 2 strikers in there that are quite hardly. In fact, is it Jose Riosco?
Yeah, Jose Riosco. That's the one I think would be the biggest, the next guy up. But even in terms of just reliability, I mean, the Union have essentially relied on the next homegrown slash youth player to step up. I mean, if you look back the Supporter Shield year, right, you had Ilsenio being the super sub the year prior, right? The next year, we expect Ilsenio to be great. He wasn't, right? He was kind of figured out. He was, I think, he had injury issues as well.
Yeah.
Anthony Fontana comes in, has the pretty solid year off the bench. And you expect, okay, who's the next guy? Then you have Nathan Harriel making an appearance, and he kind of takes Olivier's place. And you have Jack McGlynn this year. Kind of. So you've always had these players, or even, I guess, Leon Flock, if you want to call him that, because, I mean, he is extremely young. But you always had these very young players step up each and every year. And when you think, oh, there's some question marks, we don't know exactly who to trust next year, somebody steps up. But the problem with that is that you can't constantly rely on the youth. And as we saw against LAFC, you bring on somebody like Bale in the absolutely most important time of the match, and his experience comes to you know, fruition there. So you do worry that they're constantly relying on the youth. It's just not enough to get them to the next level. I would like to see somebody like Corey Burke off the bench, who I can trust, who's had years of experience, who knows exactly what to do every single time, who won't make a costly mistake. So that's my biggest concern, is that they're constantly going for the youth, and they don't have somebody that's 100% a staple in this league already who can kind of contribute the way Corey did. Because even though I trust Jim and Tanner that Quinn might be ready, we don't really have any proof that he 100% is. I mean, Jose, do you think I'm being a little too nervous there? What do you think?
No, it's interesting, right? Because I think
Valerie says, "Don't say Bale. It's true. It's too soon." You're right. Thank you, Valerie, for stopping.
it's hard to argue in a way with everything that Jim and Tanner do, right? They haven't really failed us, but I also do see your point of, wouldn't it be nice to not necessarily go toe-to-toe or head-to-head with what LAFC did by, you know, I remember texting both of you guys and saying, man, what a dichotomy here. You have Bale going in, and who do we bring? Donovan. two complete opposite side of the equation, right, on how do you manage the business of a roster, a franchise, etc. So do I question their thoughts or their logic or ideas? Maybe a little bit, but yeah, I agree with you. It would be nice to bring someone who's tried and true, someone that is reliable, and we're not just waiting for the random spurt, you know, the moment that they can bring. But again, it's hard to argue with what's worked in a way.
Yeah,
I mean, dare I say they need a Warren Cravall style player on the offense to replace Burke? Because that's the thing, you know, you got into a lead, you bring Cravall, and he'd hold the fort down, and you kind of could trust that he would do that time and time. It's weird to just try to compare somebody to Warren Cravall, but I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking for here, is somebody that I know will go in there, do his job, and kind of get done. But yeah, go ahead, Dave.
So that's some weird ones. I think, again, if you look at all the way, I mean, look at the sort of the homegrown players that come through in terms of like the attacking area, all midfield and attacking area the last couple of years, with Paxton, Nathan Harriel, and Jack McGlynn, as well as Quinn Sullivan. Quinn Sullivan's been the one that they've spoken highest about. I mean, Jim's given him incredible praise, and he thinks he could go all the way to the top. You listen to the way that Ernst speaks about him in his presses, he's glowing about Quinn Sullivan. He absolutely adores the guy. And I think they hope that he's going to be that guy. And I think at some point for the union, it's got to be, if not when, I mean, he's still a very young player, I agree. But again, if you're going to keep burying him down the depth chart, you're not going to send him out on loan to another, you know, to a USL team or even abroad into Europe. Like, I mean, when are you going to give him his chance? This year looks like it might be his opportunity to step in. And so again, Jim's alluded to the fact they're going to be playing over 50 games this year. You'd think in theory it'd be nice that every player's going to get minutes. We know under Jim Curtin that he plays the same 11 for 12 games in a row and won't change the starting 11 once. We saw during that CCL run where he had a 33, 34-year-old Danny Bedoya playing Saturday or Sunday, Tuesday or Wednesday, in the middle of the summer, going to Costa Rica, then coming back and going to Orlando, then playing at home, and then going to Atlanta. Jordan, he doesn't change the team often. And I think that's going to be such an important point of this year, is the squad rotation and when he does it. Because I won't be happy if I'm sitting here seeing Ali Bedoya playing five games in the space of two weeks or 2.5 weeks, when you've got players like Bueno, Quinn Sullivan, Jack McLean on the bench, who are players that obviously have got a lot of talent but aren't being used, as opposed to running a 34-year-old into the ground.
Listen, I think Jeffrey Mitchell will be furious about us if we did not mention Brandon Craig in this conversation. Because, listen, we can talk about Bedoya, and we can talk about who's going to replace Uwa, but the reality is that you have a back line that is both extremely strong but not exactly that deep. And Brandon Craig is that next man in the lineup. I mean, Matt Real is serviceable as left back. You know, we had decent moments at times with him. He's no Kai Wagner. We've established that already.
No.
But the problem is Stuart Finley was a very strong backup, and you could rely on Stuart Finley to go in there and handle the job with if Elliott was on suspension or Glesson's needed, whatever it might be, right? Brandon Craig is now that next man up. You also have players like Sorensen, who are basically not seeing any playing time. If Jim is going to say we need to make sure all hands are on deck, everybody's on board to take this very long schedule and do well with it, I think a change of the back line, maybe three in the back with Craig, Elliott, and Glessens, which Jim brought up on his own, by the way, in a press conference, is something that might be seen at some point this year. Because, I mean, if you looked at Brandon Craig and the U.S. Youth National Team during the CCL for them, he played extremely well. And I would love to see him get some time and just give Elliott or Glessens a break. Because, I mean, they do need some rest. They cannot play every single minute, every single game. It's just too much eventually.
Yeah. It's tough though. And, you know, just doing some quick math, someone like Sullivan only getting 13 minutes per appearance, right? Yeah. Like that's, as a forward, that is so hard to get into the game, especially if you're coming in for the last 13 minutes on average, right? Yeah. Like the game's already happened. People are settled, et cetera. There's a pattern, a flow of game. It's whatnot. And let alone score or to assist something in the last 13 minutes of a game. That's just so incredibly difficult. And I think that's just a result, again, of A, Gazdag B, having an incredible season, but also Jim's intuition of not subbing as much as we would like from time to time. But then again, it's hard to argue with the man who has brought the success to the Philadelphia Union over the last many years at this point. So it's interesting. You know, and Dave, to your point of Quinn getting all this praise, I wonder how much of that is sort of a dog and pony show, but talking up the next youth player that could be part of the next person that goes out of the system, right? You had Paxton, who I think was, I hope I'm wrong, but it almost feels like that German team overpaid quite a bit for someone who hardly saw the field for us. That was totally like national time, right? Like that had to be off of that national tournament that he had, where he was incredible. But like Quinn also had an incredible tournament. Brandon Craig also had an incredible tournament. So are they the next to launch off based on the Paxton contract, right? Can we fool some? I hate to say fool, but can we get some more people on the hook for that type of money? Because I think we would absolutely love that.
I mean, Derek brings a point. You know, you have to be ready for those 13 minutes, and I agree. And I think one thing you can, to your credit, Derek, is that they do contribute as much as they can in the 13 minutes. But at the same time, as I've played forward before, it's hard to get into a game within 13 minutes, let alone 20 minutes, especially if it's just not the way the game's flowing. So you do want to see more time. But, Jose, I do get that vibe sometimes. I do get Anthony Fontana vibe sometimes, a guy who's praised really well, but at the same time doesn't exactly get the output that you'd want to see. And I agree with you about Paxton. Listen, I think Paxton made the most of his moment, and I tip my hat off to him. From me personally seeing him, I was not necessarily blown away. I felt at times he was a bit lost. I felt at times he wasn't exactly the playmaker they expected him to be. But at this point now, he's not our problem, right? He's overseas, and I pray that he does well. And I do like Paxton a lot. I hope he does well. But if I had to see anybody go, I would rather have seen Paxton leave than Quinn. Because to your point, Dave, I do kind of agree with Ernest and Jim. I do see a lot of potential out of Quinn Sullivan. We've seen it, even to Derek's point, those 13 minutes. So now let's get 20. Let's get 30. Let's see exactly what this praise is about.
I agree. I think, again, I think we, I think out of him and Paxton, I think Quinn is definitely the more talented player. I think over the course of the last two seasons, when they both broke into the first team at the same time, I think we've seen more out of Quinn than we've seen out of Paxton in the first team. And again, I think there have been more brighter moments or moments that you've remembered that Quinn has done as opposed to Paxton, who, again, I think we said last year as well, in the last 2 years, that he's a player that's very, he's a good player with a lot of potential, but again, he's, is he cut out for the men's game yet? We've seen a lot of time where he's quite lightweight off the ball, on the ball, easy sort of shrug the sides. And again, I agree with your point as well, Mike, in terms of like a 30-minute game, like you could bring Quinn on with 30 minutes to go or 15 minutes to go. And I mean, the Union are up 2-1, having to defend the lead, and Quinn's essentially having to come on to be up front in the zone, having to just essentially chase the defenders past the ball around the back, or just leading the front. So again, it's difficult in those sort of instances to really, you know, make a difference.
No, you're absolutely right. And Derek brings up a point. Derek says, Bedoya is only on 1 year contract. That means he'd be phasing him out. And I, again, agree with you. I think, Derek, that's a great point and a great segue for our next topic here. We're talking about the midfield. We're talking about the substitutions. Bedoya obviously is not going to play 65,000 games that we have this year. So is this?
I don't know, Mike.
Well, I don't know. That's not. You know what? Let me knock on wood on that one. But no, I think he makes up a good point. You know, what is Bedoya having one more year, kind of just being that, you know, leader who passes a torch kind of thing. And I think we saw Quinn Sullivan on the right side, and I liked him a lot on the right side. We've also seen Jack McGlynn on the right side, and I know that the offense or the coaching staff likes him on the right side. I mean, how do you see Bedoya's transition this year, Jose, over the long season?
It'll be really interesting. I'm intrigued on what happens when you have the transition finally happen, right? What does it look like on the last game or maybe the last five games of the season? What does that mean for the captaincy, right? Does it go to a Daniel Gastag? Does it go to
Blake?
Elliot? I don't know. I think Blake is the sure bet, but is it guaranteed? I'm not sure. It's also interesting to think about. Just think about his last game, right? Or his second to last game where he went for that header, landed on his groin, and he was injured for like the next next couple of...
Yeah, he didn't play the MLS Cup final. I mean, he was, you know, he was... That was a huge injury. And you know what, Jose, to your point also, after that injury, we noticed the team kind of having these off moments on the field, and how many people clamored saying that's why Bedoya is so important. Yes, Alejandro was having a fantastic season, but his on-the-field management was so important. Let's forget about the captaincy for just a second. Who is going to be that in-the-game leader on the field? I mean, Dave, who would you think is the next man up to lead the team when they need it the most?
I think the big thing for this team is going to be leading from the back. So again, I think the two most responsible sort of players in that for that role will be Jacob and Jack Elliott. I think they will be the two big players to, you know, step up on the field and essentially lead the team and lead the team from the back. You are the guys, you're the two players that, you know, set the example. I mean, they're probably looking throughout the rest of the team in terms of longevity and you know, experience on the field and at the club. They are the two probably longest serving players that you'd probably turn to. So again, I mean, I think they're the sort of two players, and probably Jack Elliott would possibly be your captain if you're not going to give it to Andre Blake.
I agree with that. I think Elliott to me makes a lot of sense. And you also want somebody who's vocal right there. I mean, I know Andre Blake is a vocal leader now. He's definitely made his presence more known. And I know Jim has alluded to how vocal Andre has been, but I don't know if Daniel has that vocal presence. I mean, I just seen him in the press conference. He's not exactly the most vocal person. And also, English is his second language, so I get that there is that, you know, adjustment period. But I think Elliot makes sense. I don't see it being Leon. I don't see it being Jack. I definitely don't see it being Jose Martinez. No disrespect to him. I love Jose. I just don't think that's him. I think if you're looking at not who wears the armband, but who leads the team vocally once Alejandro leaves, to me, Elliot makes sense. Jose, that's kind of what you're talking to. Do you agree with Elliot, or do you think you have another person in mind that maybe we're not discussing?
You know, I like Glesnes quite a bit. I think he is
Glesnes right there. Derek mentioned that as well.
There you go. Glesnes is an interesting character. I think he's somebody who puts up but doesn't shut up, right? Like he plays his heart out every single game. He's not the most, you know, I think it's more, he's more of a player that, you know, he talks by showing off what he can do. And most of the time it's pocketing some of the best offensive players. I mean, I hate to go back to the LAFC game, but like Mr. Vela hardly did anything. And I know he was more on the wing, but like our defensive prowess was just very, very good that game. And that goes to show that. But I wouldn't be surprised if Gazdag got a shout too, right? Someone as great as him, he might be a quiet leader. And sometimes those are the best. I don't know. It'll be interesting. And I do think that this is, I was actually surprised to even see that Bedoya got a 1-year extension or an additional year to his contract. I was really, really surprised about that.
I think part of that was the amount of games they have. I think having him be also that kind of passing of the torch might have been put into play with it. But to Valerie's point that she mentioned a few seconds ago, you know, logistically speaking on the field, Ali made the most sense. He was right in the middle. He could talk to the front. He could talk to the back easier. You know, having somebody as far back as Glesnes may be difficult for the people in the front. They might not see the certain things the way that maybe Ali could. But, Jose, I was surprised. I think if they won the MLS Cup, maybe he doesn't come back one more season. Maybe. Dave, do you not agree with me there?
I think him coming back probably again. I think the fixtures is probably one thing. But I think the way he played last year was was probably another reason, because I think if he'd have played similarly to the way he played in 2021, where he looked sluggish, slow, really struggled to get a grip of the game, take control of the ball and do work box to box, I think he probably would have retired, or there wouldn't have been a reason really for Jim to have kept him on, because I don't think he would have offered him more of a detriment than a natural leader or someone that could have helped the team.
Yeah.
But as I say, going back to Valerie's comment about logistically having the player further forward as being the captain or the vocal leader, I think you look at the amount of teams, the best teams in the world, some of the best teams ever. You mean, look at the leaders they've had. I mean, the Germany team during the 70s with Franz Beckenbauer, even looking at the teams in the early 2000s, Chelsea's team, John Terry was their captain and leader. Arsenal during the 90s when they had one of the best defences of all time, Tony Adams as the captain and leader. Same again with Chelsea, one of the best defences in English football. At the time, John Terry was the leader, Fabio Cannavaro, Paolo Maldini, Javier Zanetti, Philip Lahm, and all these players who, even Manuel Neuer at the moment now, is the goalkeeper and manager for captain for Bayern Munich and has been for Germany on many occasions. I think they are sort of the players you lead from the back. I mean, you set the example from the back, and it's sort of, again, I think it's a position where it's very fluid. The captaincy can be very fluid, but I think, again, it's not typical to see players leave from the back and be a captain from there.
I think the biggest thing that I think of in terms of Philadelphia captaincy is Claude Giroux. And the reason why I say Claude Giroux is because not many people like Claude off the ice. So in terms of like the fans, I feel like a lot of fans had issues with Claude. But the franchise was very loyal to Claude being the captain. And I think a lot of people respected the way they kind of signed Claude off. And I think the union do have to kind of keep that into consideration. How do they remove Ali from the captaincy? Because if you do it the wrong way, it's going to rub the players the wrong way. And ultimately, that's going to affect the locker room, et cetera, that kind of stuff. So I do think that the way you approach it is very important. It has to be done delicately. As Jose's point, how did the last 5 games look? How is his last game seen as a union player? You hope it's not injury and you hope it's on his own terms kind of thing, but it's going to be very tricky because, the next person who does take that role will fill very big shoes because Alejandro was the best captain in Philadelphia across all the sports for years. I mean, I put that up with Claude. I like Claude, but I mean, Alejandro led the team with a lot of respect. So, I mean, Jose, any last thoughts on Bedoya and his captaincy?
How many years in between Alejandro Bedoya's last game and him joining the technical staff or the backroom staff of Philadelphia Union? Because
three, really probably.
It really does feel like he, I know he was out in France. I know that he did his national team games. It's like his career, etc. But I can't help but to think that he is most defined by his time in Philadelphia. And maybe maybe it's a recency bias of him, you know, being here now and just feels like just yesterday that I was getting this poster behind me of him against the New York Red Bulls or whatever. But like, I can't fathom him just completely disappearing the way that Sebastian Letou has come to, I don't want to say haunt us, but always around, right? He's like the ghost that never leaves the Philadelphia Union in a way where like he's the Ring of Honor. And frankly, how long until Bedoya gets into the Ring of Honor?
I can't see right. that more than two seasons. I mean, if he retires this year, I say probably the next year, if the year after. I mean, he deserves it more than anybody outside of Blake, obviously.
I was going to say Blake Bedoya are probably two shoe-ins sure. And I think Gastak, maybe 2 years of the Gastak we got last year. I think 3 years of, you know, that type of level, like, gets in, right? Like,
yeah, Jim Curtin when he leaves, of course. I mean, listen, it's fun to talk about. We really – last year we knew Allie was sticking for the year. And there was some question marks about whether he'd be there past that. But now that we're finally here and we're talking about it, I mean, this really does feel like his last season with the Union. And it's going to be tough to see him go. I know from just talking to him personally, he's a great guy and on and off the field. So I'm going to be very upset when he does finally leave. But, you know, go ahead.
I petition that when it's time, and I think we'll remember Jim for all the positive things versus those really hard years early on and maybe midway, whatever.
Open cup losses.
I petition that the River End no longer be called the River End, but the Jim Curtin Stand or something like that. That to me is a pretty good way to honor Jim Curtin and his time with us whenever that ends.
Dave, I'm going to ask you this question. Derek posted. How about Gaddis, Ray Gaddis? What do you think for the Ring of Honor?
I think so. I don't see why he. I don't see why he shouldn't be. I mean, he's a player that's obviously a very long standing player with the team. Yeah. I mean, he again, not only was he there during the crap times. Sometimes as you mentioned, just Ted and Jim Curtin sort of reign with the down years. He plays during the time he played with the team on their ascent up to the top to winning the MLS Supporters Shield.
He was good that year, man. He was solid. Yeah, go ahead.
He stayed loyal. He stayed with the team till the end. I mean, for sure, I think he deserves. I mean, it might take a couple of years, but I think he deserves to. Whenever he does finally retire, I'm not sure if he's. I think Jose asked that question.
Jose doesn't agree with that. With the
Ray Gaddis. No. I think that's fine. I have no qualms against the man. Okay. He's totally fine. My thinking was, we can't put him in if he's still playing for a team.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Once he retires, I'm not really sure whether he's.
Well, he also plays for a position that's hard to. I hate justify, but defenders don't often get the accolades or the notoriety that offensive players get, right? Like it's so much easier to see the statistics of a forward versus those of a defender, right? Like more often than not. It's the front that get the glory and the back that celebrates.
Yeah, which makes us very fortunate to have the back line that we do with being, easily you leave Union West first. That's right. Easily leave that team first. No, it's a great point, Jose. And it makes us very fortunate to have players like Kai Wagner, Jake Blessens, Jack Elliott, and Olivier Mbiza, who's had a great year and was on the World Cup team, for crying out loud, for Cameroon. So, I mean, listen, we could talk about the Union for another hour. I know we want to save some time for kind of a preview into the season. We really kind of just discussed a few of the players, but we have preseason coming up next week or so, really to start the preseason. We have obviously Kai Wagner's presence and or departure to worry about over these next couple weeks. A lot to kind of discuss. I know Jose, Dave, and I have been discussing, having more content out. I know Dave just posted his article about the Jim Curtin press conference, that just got released a day ago, 2 days ago. So please check out his article if you haven't seen it already. I know Jose and I are going to be at the games more often than Dave for obvious reasons. Yeah. I know Jose, you sit in the River End, so trying to show us your perspective, your view, and obviously I'm in the box, kind of show you that other side of things. And we'll try to just make it a fun third year, right? The first season, we kind of got our feet wet, Dave. Last year, we kind of got more of a presence, and now I think we're ready as a trio to take it on to the next level. So I'm done for the night. Jose, any last thoughts before we sign off?
I know. I'm just really excited to be part of it. Now, Olivier, I don't think he played a minute of the World
Cup.
No,
he didn't. He was there. He was there in spirit. No, he was there in spirit.
To be fair, Val, what was really cool was following Mbaizo on Instagram, because he really gave you a good look at the facilities through his Instagram stories of how nice it was, despite him not touching the grass once under regulation time. So, final thoughts. Really excited. I'm eager to be a pain in the back of whoever the representatives with the union that answers to us, to continue to push them a little bit and try to get us some more access and whatnot. But just really, really happy and thoroughly enjoyed participating with you guys, and now in an official way get more involved.
Absolutely. Dave, I'll shoot it to you next.
I really got to think against Mint. A nervy 2.5 weeks, you know, trying to see what happens. I mean, again, it's not just Kai Bagley, you know, we're looking at Jose Martinez. I mean, again, Olivier Mbaizo as well. I think, going off the topic, I think he's a player that a lot of people are expecting that to get that European move at some point. It could be in January.
I got thoughts about Olivier for the next episode. Just a little teaser.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. It's 2.5 weeks, and of course, we'll be live again during the next 2.5 weeks to document our thoughts again. If something happens, if we get closer, you know, we do have Kai Wagner for the next 5 months, 5.5 months for the transfer window reopens in Europe.
To Valor's point, Mbaizo did get some TV time, so he got a couple seconds. And then Derek, if answer your question, we talked about Quinn Sullivan as a replacement for Burke. We'll see what happens over these next couple weeks, how the change of formation goes and all. But Dave, Jose, great points. You know, I'm excited to talk about the union this year. Again, we'll be airing every Monday night. Thank God we got off Fridays, Dave, because I could not give up my Friday nights anymore. So Monday nights around the same time seems to be good for us. Again, follow us on Twitter. All of our handles are below and attached and scrolling, you know, Emberair1323, Jose R. Nunez, I believe, is your Twitter handle, and then Dave GFC Miller. Again, you can follow us at AATSports_ on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I actually just created a TikTok, believe it or not. I post a couple union things on there. My editing skills are getting better. Trying to, you know, revamp things, get into the 2023. So, again, guys, thank you for joining. Derek, Valerie, appreciate your comments. Very, very insightful and helpful here. And otherwise, guys, we'll be back. Hopefully discuss some preseason games and look into the next couple weeks of the union.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys. See you guys. Have a good night. See you. Dude.